Welcome to another episode of Little Talks, your weekly dose of marketing news and insights from Littlefield Agency.
Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Little Talks with Littlefield Agency. I am Sam Littlefield and we've got
Roop.
And we have a very, very special guest. We're going to introduce him shortly and we are so excited to dive in. We have a few housekeeping items. First off, you're looking at a new setup today. I couldn't be more excited. Ben from Woody River Hardwood, he did our big table with the agency. That was about a year ago.
About a year ago, yeah.
He's amazing. He crafted this. We've got more coming on the wall behind us here within the next week. So the next time you do see us live, this should be complete. Just kind of keeping you on your toes, but we're super excited. We have a couple of great things going on in the sense of just everything client-wise. We signed a new client yesterday. We rang that bell. You saw that on our social media. We will announce that client next week. We kick off with them in Missouri. We're super pumped. We had Mike from Grasshopper in yesterday for a whole CRM email.
His daily hangout, monthly daily hangout.
The daily hangout. We've got a crew in Perry, Oklahoma today doing some really cool work over with our friends at Ditch Witch. And then I do want to give a shout out, Laura and Jennifer. I can't name the company that they're with, but I've had some awesome conversations with them specifically on Monday. There's a really cool opportunity for them to grow the B2B side of their business. So Laura and Jennifer, welcome to our podcast. And today is timely because we have a very special guest. And Roop, I'm going to let you give a brief introduction.
Yeah, I met this guy. I was exposed to this guy at HubSpot's Inbound Conference last year or the year before, maybe both. And he sent us over a bio, but I actually have – can I? May
Do
I?
Do it. Do it.
I'd like to introduce the emperor of email, the baron of B2B, the guru on the mountain, Jay Schwedelson.
Jay, welcome, baby.
I'm going to get that tattooed on my forehead. I'm like Mike Tyson. That's amazing. None of that is true, by the way, but I'll take all of it. That's
amazing. Dude, Jay, welcome to Little Talks with Littlefield Agency.
Thank you for having me. I listen to your podcast. You guys have like the smoothest voices in the history of the world, and it's an honor to be here, and you guys rock.
That is awesome, man. Roop has spoken very, very highly of you over the last year. And I know, but really, I'm telling you this for your kids and for your wife, right? I want them to know the stature that you have.
I need all the help I can get.
I don't know that my endorsement will help much, but.
So, Roop.
That's not a ringing endorsement.
Roop gave you a great brief introduction. I do want to add a little bit of color to this, which I think is great. So, Jay Schwedelson, ladies and gentlemen, we're honored to have him today. He has over 50,000 LinkedIn followers. He doesn't give himself enough credit. He's a pretty smart guy. As one of America's top marketing experts, Jay provides the latest research-backed knowledge and best practices to marketers of all sizes and industries. His newly launched podcast, Do This, Not That, for Marketers, is among the most popular in the U.S. and has been ranked in the top 10 out of over 50,000 marketing podcasts in the entire country. Where do we stand?
I think we're like 11 or 12.
Are we 11
we're
or 12?
Just right outside.
We're coming
there,
up
right?
For you, buddy.
My thought on that. Nice. Gotta be.
And the last thing, Jay's also, he's president and CEO of Outcome Media, a multi-brand marketing services company. Jay, we are so welcome. We are just excited to have you and welcome to our podcast.
Awesome, man. I learned from your podcast. So I'm excited to participate here. We're going to have some fun.
That's awesome. I love it. We're going to dive right in, ladies and gentlemen. And so the way that we're going to do this today, we're scripted, but we're not scripted because that's what three different podcasting dudes do on a regular basis.
Right.
So we thought if you don't follow Jay on LinkedIn, he is absolutely worth a follow. He's amazing. By the way, his post this morning within like 40 minutes had 130 likes because he's just a funny freaking dude. The retargeting, that was very good, buddy.
Right, right. That was ridiculous.
Roop and myself and Jay, we are going to riff on all things. We're going to call it B2B tips and tricks.
Yeah.
We got kind of a bonus thing and then a fun way to end this. But Roop, I'll let you take it away and let's start picking Jay's mind.
So this is topic number one for today. There it is.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got sound effects, Jay. We got a soundboard, this whole crew here.
Wow.
Yeah. So we thought because we have the email guru on today, we would talk specifically out of the gate about some kind of quick wins for B2B brands or B2C brands on email. And in particular, some stuff maybe around like best times to do resends. What happens if your resend hits over a weekend? That was something that kind of comes up occasionally. Subject line tips, things like that. So is there just one thing people take out of this podcast besides our love for all things Jay Schwedelson, what would you want to lead with?
So I would say in general for email, if you say to yourself, email doesn't really work for us, we don't get a lot out of it, that's really because you're not paying attention to the little things. You know, the world of email, there's not one thing you're ever going to do that's going to just fix email for you and get your email to perform. It's lots of very, very little things that you have to pay attention to, right? And so a lot of times B2B marketers, they'll come up with the greatest piece of content, the greatest copy in their email, maybe the greatest design of their email, and then they'll throw like 3 seconds worth of time to the subject line, right? Where it's all backwards. I'm a big believer that if you don't get the email open, who cares what's in your email, right? So what you put in that subject line, there are little things that you can do in your subject line that are super easy, take 5 seconds, cost you nothing, that can totally change the outcome. I'll give you some examples. So your entire subject line is not relevant. Nobody reads your entire subject line. They read the first half. Sometimes I want to put at the end of the subject line, like, you're a loser. I'm always curious, will anybody actually see it? Because nobody reads the whole subject line, right? So the first few characters are what you need to be thinking about every time you're setting up your email. For example, if you start your subject line with a number, you know, the 7 pitfalls to avoid for HR pros, the 5 things all manufacturing companies need to know, whatever, an actual number, you see an open rate increase. The percentage of people opening up your emails can rise by over 20%.
Wow.
Just by starting with a number. It stands out. It's authoritative. People know it's quick. So there are little things like that that can be a game changer.
I love that. Jay, you gave a really good example right around St. Patrick's Day. Emojis, right? Leading with emojis in email. I think it was you or someone that follows you took a screenshot, and it was your inbox. Every freaking person, guess what? Put a shamrock, right? Or put the four-leaf clover. So in the sense of whether it's numbers or emojis, that thoughtfulness, when you're sending your emails, when you're sending emails on behalf of clients, you say don't use 2 seconds worth of thought. How much thought are you giving that?
You know, we give it considerable thought, but we also are always testing something different. Time you hit send, it's got to be an opportunity to test, okay? It doesn't need to be the most sophisticated A-B test. Just try something different. And I think B2B marketers are sleeping on emojis. You brought up emojis. I think that emojis have a stupid name. If emojis were called, you know, business icons, if somebody told you could put a business icon in your subject line, you're like, what the hell is that? I need to put a business icon in my subject line. But because it's called an emoji, you're like, oh, that's stupid. I'd never use that. And you don't need to use a smiley face. Let's say you're promoting some sort of event, right? You could take a calendar emoji and put it as that first character.
Right.
And it could be a game changer in terms of performance, because all you're really doing is when people are doing, you know, their social scroll in their inbox, what is the thing that you're going to do to stand out, that millisecond to grab their attention? And emojis work absolutely great, you know, for B2B. And it doesn't matter. You'll say, oh, I'm marketing to, you know, a regulated industry. I'm marketing to an audience that wouldn't like emojis. It's just not true. I look at an association like ISACA, okay? ISACA is the largest trade association for security, IT security professionals. There's no way these people should react to emojis. They use emojis all the time.
Wow.
50% of Goldman Sachs' emails have emojis in their subject lines. You can use emojis. And if you're not testing them, you must, and it's always got to be the first character. The fail is to put any of your tests at the end of your subject line. You put an emoji in your subject line, nobody is seeing it. So I'm a big fan of trying anything to stand out.
I love it.
Yeah, we really subscribe to people are people, whether you're in B2B or B2C.
Yeah.
And like their reactions and their emotions are going to be the same across both of those. And by the way, if you want to try, I would love to hear you know what happens on that you're a loser at the end of the subject line as a test. I don't want to do it, but I would love to hear what happens.
I'm going to send every email I send to you, Rupa, is going to have your loser in it in some way.
You're just going to blend in with the rest.
I'm not going to do it to anybody else but you.
And Rupa and Claudia, I ask that you don't do that on Littlefield Agency. We're trying to get some new business here. So Jay, we've done our job. We've intrigued with some thoughtful, provoking email subject lines. We get to the actual email itself, right? We're trying to get people to click. We're driving them to conversion. What do you see, especially in the world of B2B, what people are doing well and what people are not doing well in the sense of the actual topic and content of an email?
And CTA.
Yeah, I'm glad you said CTA, because that to me, in the world of B2B, we are sleeping on CTAs, right? A lot of us use webinars, okay, as our content play in the B2B world, which is great. And what do? We have a big button in our emails that says the word register, okay? Mm. That is the most boring word in the English language. if you write your CTAs, and this is the B2B world, in first person, you write in first person, we see your click-through rates rise by over 25% as compared to if you don't. So what do I mean by that? Imagine you're promoting your webinar and you have an A-B test. One test, the button, the actual words on the button, and the button can be really long. It doesn't have to be one word. One version said, register. The other version said, I want in, or register, or save my spot. Right? Which one sounds better to you? What you have to think about always is this, whatever I'm writing, is it a benefit to me, the sender, or a benefit to the recipient? And register is a benefit to you, the marketer and the sender. The save my spot, I want in, is a benefit to me, the recipient, and it makes you feel engaged, it makes you feel excited. And it's not like somebody looks at the button and says, this is the coolest button I've ever seen. Right? They don't do that, but they stop and they're like, wait a minute, and they reconsider it and it works. It costs you nothing. It takes 3 seconds. And these are the types of things as marketers, we're like, why isn't anybody registering? Because you're boring people to death.
Love it.
That is what's happening.
Love it. Love it. By the way, Brandon wants us to look at the camera.
Oh, did he? Did he give
that's
you a sign?
That's how we're technically. So, Jay, we're going to be looking at you.
We get scolded.
That's the thing. You just hit the nail on the head. B2B is not boring, right? But there's so many companies that we see out there, not clients of ours, because we make it fun for them. While this is a great reminder as well, but really not making it boring is so important. Because Jay, I mean, you're working. You said a large chunk of your business is B2B.
Yeah. So 60. My agency, Outcome Media. So 60% of my business is B2B. We don't just do email. We do direct mail, podcast advertising. Everything is demand gen.
Got it.
And over the course of a year, we'll do 6 billion emails on behalf of our clients. So we're always looking at the littlest thing that works. I'll give you an example in the B2B world that we're seeing right now is like a boat anchor. Like we were talking about webinars. What do a lot of B2B marketers do? They start their subject line with the word webinar. They're like, webinar, colon, whatever. Why don't you just say root canal, colon, whatever? It's like literally, it depresses performance so much. No one cares that it's a webinar. They want to know about the topic. They want to know, what am I going to get out of this? You know, I'm going to learn the 5 pitfalls to avoid for new business owners, whatever. They don't want to know it's a webinar and it's going to take up time and be the worst. So you got to really think about it. You with your human hat on, what are we really doing?
I love that. And by the way, my wife is a dentist, so that is such a good – you've done your research, man. I'm impressed.
I love root canals. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, I don't.
They're amazing.
I love my wife, but I don't like the dentist. Okay, that's great. So you sent something – posted something the other day on LinkedIn just in the sense of and we're testing this ourselves with clients and at the agency. Sending out, and whether it's resends or actual, the first send, the time, right? So 9:52 in the morning instead of 10 a.m., right. You know, instead of on the half hour, you know, 10:42. Do you see any statistical significance? We already have in the first couple of weeks that we've been doing this.
Yeah, and in general, by the way, if we rattle off a bunch of ideas and you test them all, they don't all work. You might say, oh, that guy Jay who talks really fast, he's an idiot. And that may be true, but that's what we're in. You know, we're in a laboratory, right? Yeah. We got to be testing everything. And, you know, what you're bringing up is a really easy test, which is people don't realize it, but over 80% of all emails are sent out on the hour. And meaning like when you're setting up your email campaign, what do? You say, oh, let's send out 8 a.m. Let's send out at 11 a.m. Let's send out at 2 p.m. In your life, have you ever said, you know, let's send out at 2:12 or 11:09?
Yeah.
You don't do that.
Yeah.
And the problem is in the first 10 minutes of any hour, all promotional email shows up because that's how everything is scheduled. And it's hard for you to stand out. Whereas if your email shows up like 10 minutes later, where it's all those one-to-one emails between you and your family and stuff like that, you actually see about a 15% increase in open rate performance, the percentage of people opening up your emails just by not sending out on the hour. And, you know, and in general, that's indicative of email, right? It's, you got to just look at this thing through a different lens and say, wait a minute, I don't want to do what everybody else is doing because then I can't stand out, right? You got to do something a little bit against the grain and that's how you win.
Yeah. And the thing about testing and always testing, you can't really do that unless you're sending more than one email a month, right? Like, that's the other thing I think we hit a lot is, one a month, I've sent too many emails to my list already.
So I'm glad you bring that up because it's not only the opposite is true because, hey, you want to get more business, right? You don't send more email just to get more business or more leads or more whatever. Yes. That's not why you need to send more email. the game is, how do you stay in the inbox these days? How do you avoid the junk folder and the spam folder? People think, oh, I can't use the word free, or I can't use an emoji, or I can't capitalize a word because that's going to cause me to go to the junk folder. You don't go to the junk folder because of the content that you write, the words that you write, the symbols that you use. You used to go to the junk folder for those reasons 10 years ago, okay? But technology changed. So now you go to the junk or spam folder because if you have or don't have engagement, people opening and clicking and replying to your emails, the level of engagement that you have, the volume of it, is what these receiving email networks are looking for. They're saying, this sender is getting a lot of opens and clicks on what they're sending out, so let's keep them in the inbox. The irony is, in order to generate enough engagement, opens and clicks and interaction, you need to send enough email. So if you're sending an email monthly, you're going to probably have the highest percentage of people going to the junk folder and spam folder because it's impossible for you to generate the engagement. So you're not just needing to send weekly, at least once a week, because you want to get customers and response and all that. You need to keep the lights on in terms of your reputation as a sender. And so the irony of email is you have to do the opposite of what you think you need to be doing.
Yeah, I've talked to clients and potential clients about it in a way that, like, you don't really think anything of posting on your social media channels multiple times per week. So why is the inbox considered different? Yeah. Like, own it. Be there and be present.
Well, and I'll tell you, Jay, it's interesting because when Roop came back from inbound, he was on this inbound high, this LinkedIn high.
Every year I am.
And that's the importance of great conferences and great speakers like you, Jay.
Yeah.
Is it did flip it on our heads because our mantra a year ago, right? Hell, 9 months ago was, well, we don't want to bother them. It's just not being bothered, right? To your point, you're living in their inbox in a good way. And that's how you grow that relationship for when they're not ready to buy from you.
100%. And I also think attribution is a weird thing, right? We're always chasing attribution. You know, what is the thing that we did? And okay, let's double down on that because we got X customers, X leads, X whatever. And I think it's a little bit of garbage. And the reason I say that is you have to always be present, right? You have to be present in their ear, in their inbox, visually on social media, everywhere. And if you're always present, then when they're ready to buy or purchase whatever, you'll be top of mind. And I say attribution is a little bit garbage because you don't really know what was the tipping point where they thought of you as a thought leader or somebody that, you know, they want to think about as a vendor or whatever. But if you're not there, then you're not going to build that trust and that connection. And so it is, you have to be consistent. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You are not marketing to you. So you can't be, what you never want to do is say, I don't like that, right. So we shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
That is the recipe to go out of business.
Yeah, and the sales cycles are long. Like, you know, you gotta be in the game for a while.
Well, Jay, one thing before we go to our next topic, one thing that we've been very mindful of as an agency over the last year, and I've got a great example. I'll call the brand out. I drive in an Infiniti car and got a great email the other day, and it was emoji, important, you have a recall on your car. Okay, so all right, I click, I'm intrigued.
Ringing endorsement.
Obviously, Infiniti. I need to make sure with the amount of road trips that ringing endorsement, right? But I click, the landing experience, right, was freaking terrible. Went to the homepage. I was like, okay, well, how is it not, hey, Sam, we understand that you have this car. Schedule your appointment right now. Boom, boom, click, click. No, dude, I had to scour the website to do an appointment, and I had no idea if I did a recall appointment or a normal appointment. It was disastrous.
We're losing a sponsor right now, aren't we?
And that's okay. I'm not going after Infiniti. Sorry, Infiniti. But anyway, it did make me think, right? So you've done your job, subject line, great content, right. And then going into that landing experience. So walk us through that just in the sense of you've done your job and you're halfway there. You're almost home. What do you and your team think through as you just all things user experience and getting that person to convert?
Yeah. So the destination page that you're taking them to, number one, you want whatever the primary image is that's in your email. You have some sort of hero image. Maybe it's, hello, it's me. And then they click through. Okay. Having the same primary image on your destination page as you did in your email will actually increase your conversions a little over 15% because we get comfortable. We're like, oh, I clicked on the thing. It's the same thing. Great. I'm in the right spot. But then the number of fields. You know, by the way, it is okay to promote things ungated, right? Promote things where you're not asking people to fill things out if you already have their information. It does incredibly well, and having no form is a home run. And what you want to do if you do that type of promotion, which I'm a big fan of, in your emails, be very blatant. this content's ungated. You have to fill nothing out to get it. We just want you to have it. Don't, and it works so well. But let's say you are gating your content. You do have fields. Every additional must fill field that you ask somebody to fill out, you'll lose 8 to 10% of your registrants. Mm. Every additional must fill field. So I'll have clients, big giant enterprise, you know, software clients, like, well, we need every field filled out or else I can't go into our CRM. And it's the most annoying thing in the world because they'll literally ask the person's job title and their job function, you know, the department that they're in. I'm like, what are we doing?
And this what time do you eat breakfast? And when do you take a nap? Right. It's like, guys.
And then they're like, well, why do we only get four people? Why is our abandon rate like 99% on our destination page? I'm like, because who the hell wants to fill that out? Right? It's a horrible experience. One secret hack that you also should think about doing on your destination page is take a testimonial. Everybody's got at least one. You know, this is the greatest software I've ever used, right? Whatever it is. And put that testimonial right near that final button, the button where you're asking the person to submit, to buy, to subscribe, to do whatever. Put it right below it, right next to it, that testimonial, because it gives the person that last boost of confidence that they're making the right decision. And then the other piece on that page, which you never, ever want to do, is use the word submit. Don't have the word submit. That is like the weirdest word. I don't know how it got into the world of marketing, but it's bizarre and it sucks. And you don't want to use it. What you want to do on that button is you want to repeat the offer.
Nice.
This is your closing argument, right? So it's get three free quotes, okay? Get my free guide. Whatever it is that you're promoting, that button needs to repeat it right there because you're telling the person, yeah, by clicking here, you're getting the thing that you want. Don't have it say submit, please. Let's stop that.
I love that. Words to live by right there.
Yeah, it is. Should we go to the ridiculous?
You want to go to the ridiculous?
Yeah, I think so. We're Jay's been great to give us this much time.
No, absolutely. Yeah, by the way, I just looked and I was like, it's already a time.
No, me too.
Yeah, we're trying to be mindful.
Trying to be mindful.
No, let's hang out.
So if you have not already subscribed to Do This, Not That, Jay's podcast, go do so right now. You can't miss it in the list of podcasts out there. It's a massive pink icon that he uses for it.
Pepto-Bismol.
Pepto-Bismol, by design, I suspect. Great. He has a lot of great tips like what you're hearing today. Fantastic stuff. But his format's kind of interesting because like us, we do a lot of housekeeping up front, and then we kind of talk about the topic at the end. He talks about the topic up front, and then he has what he calls the ridiculous question at the end. And the ridiculous question is folks can write into him and ask really anything. He loves to talk about reality TV. I think he mentioned he has a birthday coming up next week.
Hey, happy
this
birthday.
Week, happy early birthday. Yeah.
Thank you.
So we thought in spirit of that, we would close with a ridiculous question. And I tried to come up with the most ridiculous, and I don't think I did, but I was curious about this, Jay.
By the way, he hasn't even told me, Jay, so.
But by the way, I have no idea what's
Godspeed,
coming.
Brother.
Okay, yeah. So when we pre-met for this, we talked about our new affinity for Celsius and addiction to it. But I was curious, what is your favorite junk food? Mm.
Oh, well, first of all, I do love Celsius. I love all things caffeine. It will be the end of me. There's no doubt about it. But I like gummy bears like a lot. But the weirdest thing is I don't like buy them. I don't go when I'm at my supermarket. I don't like buy gummy bears. But then as soon as I go on a work trip, right? Anytime I go on a work trip, I'll go in that store, you know, where they have all the crap. And I'm like, oh. This is the time. This is my moment. Nobody's with me. My wife can't tell me don't do it. Yes. Nobody's stopping me. And I buy all versions of gummy bears, like the sour ones, different ones, and gummy with circle. I don't know. And I'm sitting on the plane, and I'm just like devouring these things. And by the time I get off, I want to throw up. But that is my moment in the sun. That's the time to do it. Am I like alone? Do you guys do that on work trips? Just eat horribly?
Nerd ropes, baby.
I do it with gummy bears. It's exactly the same. Now, follow-up question, gummy bears or gummy worms?
Ooh.
Oh, I generally get gummy bears. I'm not fundamentally against gummy worms. It's a big mouthful, though. Like you put a gummy worm in your mouth, it's just a lot going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you a gummy worm?
No, I'm a gummy bear guy. And I remember when I was a kid and really into this gummy situation, and they started making those massive, oversized, foot tall gummy bears.
Those are disgusting.
And I thought, man, that's got to be better than the small ones. Could not be further from the truth. The grossest thing I've ever had in my life. So I like the grossest thing and the thing I love the most are kind of related. It's a weird deal.
And it's perfect because this is why Jay brought up root canals earlier.
Full circle.
That's exactly right. I know. You should have more dentists like supporting this podcast.
I know, right?
I will say there is a big difference between the types of gummy bears. They're not all created equal.
Harbro's
the king. Some are great and some are terrible. Yeah. So this is not a ringing endorsement for all gummy bears. I just want to be very clear about that.
That is a very, very good point. The ridiculousness. I love this. Jay, thank you so much. Always. We've enjoyed this. Like we said, guys, follow Jay on LinkedIn. Heck of a follow.
Subscribe to Do This, Not That.
Do This, Not That. Thank you. If you are going to Inbound, that's September 18th through 20th. Jay is a speaker. He's going to be there. Heck, we might link up with him. And I think
we got to collab there.
Are you a cocktail drinker?
Of course. Okay. Why not?
Cocktails on us.
There it is. Right. We'll bring the gummy bears too.
I love it. And we'll bring gummy bears.
Cocktails and gummy bears. That's a new podcast. Cocktails and gummy bears.
I kind of like that.
That is perfect. Yeah. Jay, thank you. We appreciate it. And we'll see you soon, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thank you all.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
And that's a wrap. We hope you've enjoyed our little chat and found ways to grow your own marketing strategies. Remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on social media @Littlefield Agency.